Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the Southern California Blending Conference. I believe this weekend we are going to have a very sweet, pleasant, supplying, and encouraging time full of much vision, burden, and practical help concerning the gospel. We're going to see what the gospel is. We're going to see what is on God's heart concerning the gospel according to his eternal economy. And I believe through the testimonies of many saints and through the sharing of the brothers, there is going to be much encouragement concerning how we can go on as one man in Southern California. Amen. For the increase of Christ, for the increase of the churches, Amen. For God to have his full expression in humanity. So what a joy that we can gather together this weekend, that we can be mutually encouraged, that we can be mutually supplied. And I have been very much encouraged through all the fellowship related to the preparation for this conference. And in particular, I've been encouraged by having my eyes lifted up to see the many fields of labor that are white for harvest. Concerning how many opportunities there are for us to share the gospel, for us to labor on the ones whom the Lord has given to us, for us to go forth together in one accord and to see the Lord's blessing upon our coordinated labor. So this weekend, we are going to have a time that I think will be a landmark in our experience in the churches in Southern California. We have a commission from the Lord to preach the high gospel. And so we need to see the contents of the gospel and the richness of the gospel that the Lord has entrusted to his recovery. Let's read all together with a strong, exercised spirit the general subject of this weekend's conference. The primary need for the increase in the Lord's recovery through the universal practice of the priesthood of the gospel. And let's read message one, the title. The contents of the gospel and the Lord's charge to spread the gospel. The common thought concerning the gospel may be that God was incarnated. He went to the cross in Christ. That there Christ was crucified for redemption. And that through believing into Christ as our Savior, we are saved. And surely this is not wrong. We affirm this. But neither is it complete. Actually, the gospel includes all the truths in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is the gospel of God. The gospel that we preach is a gospel that is the whole Bible. And the gospel is the person of Christ himself. Amen. So we are preaching a person. We are bringing others into contact with a living person. Amen. And this gospel is a high gospel. This afternoon we want to see, in a brief way, the different aspects of the gospel in its fullness, in its richness. Because we have a unique commission in the Lord's recovery today to preach this high gospel, to preach the gospel in all of its many aspects throughout the scriptures, to preach the gospel as the word of God that is full and rich, and that we see in particular in the completing ministry of the Apostle Paul concerning the head with the body, Christ with the church, concerning Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. And the burden in the gospel is for the increase of Christ in humanity, for the spread of Christ, for his growth and enlargement in his organic body as an organism in which and through which he is expressed in his glory with all of his riches in redeemed, transformed, and glorified humanity. Praise the Lord for such a rich gospel. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. We need to know the contents of the gospel. And A, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel is for the kingdom. And the gospel is proclaimed so that rebellious sinners might be saved, qualified, and equipped to enter into the kingdom of God. So the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And it is this gospel that must be preached to the whole inhabited earth, and then the end will come. And this gospel of the kingdom in its fullness has been entrusted to the Lord's recovery through the ministry of the age. So what is the kingdom of God? It is a divine sphere for God to exercise his authority, for God to work out his plan, for God to accomplish his eternal intention, to express his glory. When we preach the gospel, we are not merely leading sinners to salvation, though we are certainly doing that. But we are actually putting human beings into the triune God. Amen. To make them the citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. Amen. So there's a fundamental problem in the universe. And that fundamental problem is rebellion. Fallen man has rebelled against God. Fallen man has denied God's authority. And fallen man has rejected God's authority. Therefore, when we preach the gospel of the kingdom, God brings people under the ruling of the heavenly authority so that they may participate in the blessings of the divine life in the divine kingdom. So through the gospel of the kingdom, we are bringing people into a realm, into a sphere where God has the freedom to exercise his authority and to reign in his rulership so that he can carry out what is on his heart in his economy. What a glorious gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And for fallen human beings to be put into the triune God and to be brought into this sphere of God's reign and rule, we need to help them to have a genuine repentance. Man is rebellious. But now we have a commission to be one with the triune God, to turn fallen man back to submission to the Lord and to his throne of authority. But for a repentance to happen, there must be a genuine change in mind, issuing in regret, regret for sin, regret for having lived a life of rebellion. So this requires the conviction of the Spirit to convict fallen man. And there needs to be a turn in purpose. When we preach this gospel, we are helping human beings, fallen and without hope in the world, to turn to the glorious God, to have a change in their purpose, and to be brought into the sphere of God's kingdom with his authority and for his glory. And when they enter into this sphere, they become citizens of this heavenly kingdom. What a high commission! We are not merely preaching a gospel of redemption, but we are preaching a gospel for the rule of God on the earth. Praise the Lord, there is a kingdom on the earth today, and that kingdom is in the proper church life as the reality of the kingdom of God on the earth today. But we need to preach this gospel, not only through our speaking, but also through our living a life in the kingdom of God, under the divine authority, under the rulership of Christ. And when people see this in the proper church life, there is a response, because here there is a divine order. You may have noticed that the first 5 points, that is A through E in Roman numeral 1, correspond to the 5 messages in the recent international Chinese-speaking conference held here in Anaheim. So the conference this weekend is a continuation of the wonderful burden that was released in the Chinese-speaking conference. And as you'll see, each of these points corresponds to each one of those 5 messages. So we will continue to get into these things in Southern California through the Holy Word for Morning Revival to get into all the details of these points. This weekend, we'd like to just impress you and infuse you with the burden that the Lord has infused us with, that we would have a renewed concept concerning the gospel, and that we would go forth with much burden for the gospel. Amen. That we would live uniquely and even desperately for the gospel. If you're like me, and I know you are, you need encouragement concerning the gospel. Are you encouraged that we have the gospel of the kingdom? What a glorious gospel the Lord has given us to preach in his recovery. Let's read letter B all together. The gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is God himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us, gained by us, and enjoyed by us. The gospel of the grace of God is the stewardship of grace to dispense God into people for their enjoyment. Praise the Lord that grace is God incarnated, Christ becoming the Spirit in resurrection, that we could enjoy this wonderful God as our portion day by day. When God was incarnated, it became possible for man to receive, possess, enjoy him. Incarnation made God contactable, touchable, receivable, experienceable, enterable, even enjoyable. And now we have the Spirit dwelling in our spirit, bringing us into all the reality of this limitless, all-inclusive Christ. And now when we exercise our spirit and when we lead others to exercise their spirit, to touch this glorious Christ as the Spirit, then there is the divine transmission whereby all that God is in Christ as the Spirit is imparted into man, is infused into man, is transfused into man, that the triune God would be mingled with the tripartite man, thus producing this wonderful divine human constitution, the body of Christ. This is the gospel that we're preaching today. It is not grace merely as unmerited favor, that is, as receiving that which we do not deserve because we are sinners. But rather, our view of grace is that grace is God himself to be enjoyed by man. The Apostle Paul lived a life according to grace. Even he could testify that grace lived in him. Grace did everything in and for him. He was a man who lived by this grace, which was Christ living again in Paul's divinely enriched humanity. Praise the Lord that we can live a life of grace, enjoying grace, being infused with grace day by day. Even our speaking can be and should be words of grace that impart grace to those who hear. So as we are speaking to our co-workers, as we're speaking to our neighbors, as we're speaking to our classmates, the words we speak, our person in our living, should just impart grace to those who hear. Amen. This Christ should be so attractive in our speaking. This Christ should be so attractive in our living that others would see this Christ, they would touch this Christ, and they would receive this Christ to be infused with him and to enjoy him as grace. Well, in our experience, the throne of grace is in our spirit. When we turn to our spirit spontaneously, we enthrone the Lord. And when we enthrone the Lord, we're living under his divine authority. And we are living a life in the reality of the kingdom of the heavens on the earth today. And others surely will be convinced when they see such a living in the church, composed of God men, composed of kingdom people that they do not see in the world. But this depends on our enjoyment of this Christ as grace and as everything to us. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, we see there that there is the grace of Christ. There's the love of God as the source of the grace of Christ. And there's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as the transmission of God as the source and of Christ as grace. There is a current of the divine Trinity within us as our spiritual pulse. And the entire church life depends on this reality, that we would be enjoying this Christ, this triune God as grace, moment by moment and day by day. When unbelievers touch us, they should touch grace. When believers in Christ, our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, come into a meeting of the church in the Lord's recovery, they should just enter into a realm of grace, filled with joy and with the enjoyment of God Himself. Let's read letter C all together. The structure of the gospel of God is the righteousness of God, the life of Christ, and the faith of the believers. The righteousness of God is the procedure of God's salvation judicially. The life of Christ is the purpose of God's salvation organically. Faith of the believers is the substantiation of God's salvation practically. What a wonderful structure that we see in the gospel of God. And this is based on Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The righteous shall have life and live by faith. Christ died as our substitute, the substitute for sinners to fulfill God's righteousness. And His death according to God's righteousness was fully approved by God. Christ removed the barrier of our sins to bring us to God. And now, when we believe into Christ, He is making us the righteousness of God in Him. And so because Christ has died, because the demands of God's righteousness have been fulfilled by this Christ who was obedient even unto the death of the cross, when we repent, when sinners repent and ask forgiveness, God is bound by His righteousness to forgive, Amen. To justify, Amen. Because Christ has died for the ungodly. But justification is of life. That means that justification has a goal. Justification does not merely make us right with God, though it surely does. But justification is with the goal that we would receive the very life of God, because righteousness, justification is of life. So we are justified by God. We are reconciled to God. And we receive the divine life of God to make us genuine sons of God and members of the organic body of Christ. This is the gospel that we preach, not merely that you are saved, that your sins are forgiven, although we certainly preach this, but much more. Now, dear friend, you can receive the life of God. Amen. You can become a genuine son of God, a brother of Christ, the firstborn. And through the operation of this divine life, we are sanctified by the holy nature of God to become holy as God is holy. We are transformed through a metabolic process with the elements of Christ's divine life from the old constitution to the new constitution for the building of Christ's organic body. So the gospel that we preach is a full gospel because it touches not only Christ the head, but the body as His expression. And the faith of the believers. This is Christ entering into these ones to be their faith. Our believing into Christ is our appreciation of Him as a reaction to His attraction. Do you want those in your personal Jerusalem to be attracted by this wonderful Christ? To have a reaction to His attraction? May we speak the riches of this glorious Christ. May we live this Christ to our fellow man. And may we seek the increase of Christ for His glory. Let's continue by reading point D. Paul's gospel is the gospel of completion. Is that God Himself in His Trinity became the processed, all-inclusive Spirit to be life and everything to us for our enjoyment, the one to express Him for eternity. Amen. So this was Paul's experience, that he became a minister according to the stewardship of God to complete the word of God. So we are stewards, entrusted with a stewardship. That is that we are serving the all-inclusive Christ to man. We are imparting this Christ to man. And Paul's gospel was centered on the triune God being our life in order to be one with us and to make us one with him. Friend, you can receive the triune God. You can become a member of the body of Christ. When you repent and believe into Christ and receive him as your Savior, you have him in you as the hope of glory. He lives in you. He's being formed in you. He makes his home in you. And we are filled with him to become the fullness of God. What a complete gospel the Apostle Paul preached. And this is the gospel that we must preach in the Lord's recovery. Finally, point E. The highest point of God's gospel is that God created us for the accomplishment of his economy with the intention that we would become God in life and nature, but not Godhead for his expression. So the eternal God had a dream according to the desire of his heart. Oh, praise the Lord. And to carry this out, he has an economy. And in Christ, he went through death and resurrection. He reproduced himself. And now we are a group of God-men as the one new man, a corporate God-man bearing the image of God for his expression. There's a new kind on the earth, the God-man kind. May the God-men go forth to preach the gospel and to bring this wonderful triune God to sinners, that the triune God would have an increase for his full expression in humanity. Amen. I just read you one final quote. The great, irrepressible, and unlimited power of faith motivates thousands to suffer for the Lord, risk their lives, and become overcoming sent ones and martyrs to spread the gospel of God's eternal economy unto the uttermost part of the earth. May we be such ones. Praise the Lord.
Was that not a rich gospel? Yes. What a high gospel, what a full gospel. And now we come to Roman numeral number 2. What a complete gospel. Amen. Roman numeral number 2 was lifted straight out of the outlines from message 4 of the International Chinese Speaking Conference. And that message was entitled, Paul's Gospel, the Gospel of Completion. Most pursuing Christians, if asked, would know that the New Testament contains 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But not many Christians would know that the Apostle Paul, too, had a Gospel. Where is that Gospel found? The book of Romans is Paul's Gospel. Twice in that epistle, first in chapter 2, verse 16, and then in chapter 16, verse 25, Paul refers to the contents of the book of Romans as my gospel. Amen. My gospel. That is why we can say that the book of Romans is Paul's gospel. Amen. The gospel according to Paul. But then you should ask, how does Paul's gospel differ from the 4 other gospels? And before we get into that, we have to establish at the outset that Paul's gospel includes all the aspects of the other 4 gospels. It includes kingdom, it includes life, it includes forgiveness, and it includes service. But how it differs from those 4 gospels is that it covers much more than those 4 gospels. And we shouldn't be surprised, as our brother shared, in Colossians 1, he was appointed, Apostle Paul testified that he was appointed a minister according to the stewardship of God. For what purpose? To complete the word of God. Amen. Paul's commission was to complete the word of God. Amen. So Paul's ministry was a completing ministry. And Paul's gospel is a completing gospel. It completes all the other gospel. That is why we can say Paul's gospel is the gospel of completion. Then we might ask, what is so complete about Paul's gospel? Other than what our brother just shared, if you look at the recovery version in front of every book, there is a subject. And the subject shown for the epistle of Paul to the Romans is the gospel of God, to make sinners sons of God, to constitute the body of Christ, which is expressed as the local churches. And if you consider this subject alone carefully, you'll realize that the scope of Paul's gospel spans from the time that we're merely sinners in need of redemption, passing through the forgiveness of sin, sanctification, transformation, all the way to that which will ultimately fulfill God's eternal purpose, that is to have a universal, enlarged, corporate expression, the reality of the body of Christ, worked out practically in every locality all across the earth. Now, that's a full gospel. That's a gospel that is much more than the four gospels. It's Paul's gospel, and it's a complete gospel because it includes judicial redemption, chapters 1 through 3. It includes organic salvation, chapters 4 through 8. It includes the body of Christ, chapters 9 through 12. And it includes the local churches, chapters 13 through 16. That is the book of Romans. That is Paul's gospel. And not only is it complete, as our brother shared, this gospel is a high gospel. Generally speaking, the gospel that is preached in today's Christianity is too low. We must realize that the Lord's recovery has been entrusted with a high gospel. This is the gospel that we need to preach. To summarize our brother's sharing, this conference has two burdens. One is that we would have a renewed concept concerning what the gospel is. And the second is that we would have the burden to have a living that is uniquely for the gospel. And who do we preach this gospel to? We preach it to all the nations. So this gospel is needed by the displaced Middle Eastern refugees in Germany. But this gospel is also needed by the residents of comfortable Southern California. Amen. Listen, those who happen to be unbelievers and those who happen to be believers. That's right. This gospel, the gospel according to Paul, needs to be announced even to believers. Amen. Why? Because the gospel is preached not just to redeem us, right, to save us from eternal perdition. And it's not even just to regenerate us. The gospel is for us to be renewed, to be sanctified, to be transformed, to become even conformed to His image, that we could be mature sons of God. But not only so, the gospel still needs to be preached, because God does not want, He is not satisfied merely by individual sons of God, however many they may be. He wants His many sons of God constituted, built up into one body, the body of Christ. And He wants this one body to be expressed practically through the church life in the local churches. This is the complete gospel. This is the gospel. Praise the Lord for such a high gospel. And this weekend, we hope that this gospel will not remain just Paul's gospel. We hope that it will become our gospel. For this to happen, we have to first see what Paul saw. We need a marvelous revelation of the gospel. This is in Romans 2. Maybe all of us could read it together. Paul received a marvelous revelation of the gospel directly from the Lord Himself. We in the Lord's recovery need to have a clear view of Paul's gospel, the gospel according to Paul. We hope that all the churches in Southern California could enter into Paul's gospel. Paul's revelation was received, according to this point, directly from the Lord. And in these verses in Galatians, he testifies that that gospel that he announced was not according to man, but it was received through a revelation. So we should pray that the Lord will give us the same revelation. In fact, the Apostle Paul prayed that we would have this revelation, right? In Ephesians 1, he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the full knowledge of him, why? So that our eyes could be, eyes of our heart can be enlightened. And so in many, many wonderful things, what is the hope of our calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of the fourfold power? And what is the divine transmission which is to the church? But all of it culminates and consummates in what? Christ being the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Isn't that Paul's gospel? May we see it as Paul saw it. May we have such a clear view of Paul's gospel. A, the gospel that Paul received through the revelation of Christ is the center of God's revelation in the New Testament. The central revelation in the New Testament is God's economy. And God's economy is God's plan to dispense himself into man, to dispense himself into his chosen, predestinated, and redeemed people as their life, life supply, and everything to produce, constitute, and build up the organic body of Christ. God's economy, in fact, as Brother Tony shared, are all the truths in the Bible. And all the truths in the Bible is our gospel. This is what Paul preached, and this is what we need to preach. How about we have the brothers speak point B. Paul's gospel, the gospel of God, is the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul's gospel is the full gospel, the teaching concerning Christ, the body, and the local churches. Let's break this point down into three key phrases. First, there's the phrase, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Paul's gospel is simply to proclaim Christ. In 1 Corinthians, he preached Christ. According to the life study of Ephesians, our gospel is a person. And not just a person, Christ, with all his riches. And these riches are unsearchable, untraceable. We can't exhaust them. So we need to preach not just some, not just part, but all his riches. And it is these riches and this person that we announce as the gospel. The second phrase is according to the revelation of the mystery. What mystery? It's the same mystery as in Ephesians 5, the great mystery, comprised of two other mysteries, the mystery of God, which is Christ, found in Colossians 2, and the mystery of Christ, which is the church, which is found in Ephesians 3. And this great mystery, which has been kept silent in the times of the ages, has now been manifested. Amen. Hasn't the mystery, the great mystery of Christ in the church been manifested? Amen. And Romans 16, 25, verse 26 particularly, has a very touching thing. And listen, and so now, the command of the eternal God. The command of the eternal God. Do you want to know what the command of the eternal God is? Amen. It's that this mystery, Christ in the church, would be made known to all the Gentiles for the obedience of faith. Amen. So is the eternal God's command, and thus our commission, to preach this gospel, a gospel that includes Christ, the body, and even the local churches. We've been charged many times to make a list of all those that we need to preach the gospel to. And maybe some of us do, which is good. Maybe you can envision this list in your mind right now. And if not, maybe you can compose this list of all those who are your gospel contacts or your gospel prayer lists. Let me ask you a question. of all these relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues that are on this list, how many of them are believers who have already been regenerated? If you're like me, probably not many. And that right there exposes our narrow view of the gospel. The complete gospel is for unbelievers and believers alike. Unbelievers do not know Christ, so of course they need this gospel. But can you say that all believers know the unsearchable riches of Christ in full? Can you say that all believers know the mystery of Christ, which is the church, in all of its reality? If not, then they need this gospel too. The gospel is concerning Christ, the body, and even the local churches. Our commission is to preach this gospel, the gospel of completion. Let's have the sisters read point C. Paul's gospel of completion. It includes all the aspects of the four gospels. Life, forgiveness, many important aspects of the gospel are found only in the writings of Paul. One way of seeing why Paul's gospel is much more than the four gospels is that the Christ preached in the four gospels is the Christ before resurrection, who was among the believers and in the flesh. But the Christ that Paul preached was the Christ after resurrection, who was in the believers as the Spirit. Do you see the difference? The four Gospels are mainly about the incarnated and crucified Christ. But Paul's Gospel includes the resurrected and indwelling Christ. This enables Paul's Gospel to be much more subjective to those who hear. Only in Paul's writing do you find these five matters in point one. Christ in us as the hope of glory. Christ living in us. Christ being formed in us. Christ making his home in us. And even our being filled with Christ to be the fullness of God. Isn't this so much more than Christ merely being among us or in our midst? Aren't you glad that Christ is living in us?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he can do all these wonderful things within us?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the resurrected and indwelling Christ.
Amen.
Two, Paul's gospel concerns Christ as a spirit living within the believers after his resurrection. Three, from Paul's gospel, we learn that the Spirit of Christ is a seal and pledge. To underscore the burden that our gospel is a high gospel, I'm going to focus on the matter of sealing, the sealing of the Spirit of Christ. At the time we were saved, at least initially, God put his Holy Spirit into us, and that was a seal. And why did he put that into us, that seal into us? To mark us out. To show that we belong to him, right? We have a seal. But don't stop there. That's half of it. If you stop there, that's the low gospel. The high gospel is that this seal is also an anointing.
Amen.
According to 1 Corinthians 1:22. And the more we allow this anointing to anoint us, the more the Spirit causes us to bear God's image. And not only so, God's, the Spirit of Christ, causes us to make us like God.
Amen.
So the difference between the low gospel and the high gospel is that with the low gospel, we belong to God. It's wonderful to belong to God. But the high gospel is that we can become like God.
Amen.
We can ultimately bear God's image.
Amen.
Thus fulfilling God's original intention that we would express him. This is the gospel that the nations need. Four, Paul's gospel concerns Christ as the head and the church as the body. So from this day forward, I hope we don't limit the gospel to merely Christ the Redeemer. And I hope we don't limit the gospel to merely Christ our Savior. Because not only is Christ our Redeemer, and not only is He our Savior, He wants to be our head. And He wants us to be His body. We need to learn to preach Christ and the church as the gospel. This is the full gospel. This is the complete gospel. This is the high gospel. Let's read point five together. The gospel Paul preached includes the whole book of Romans. This book reveals the complete transformation and the constitution . So I hope this point has been sufficiently made, right? That that Paul's gospel is a complete gospel. And I hope that we realize that the gospel that he preached and the gospel that we must preach is much more, perhaps even the gospel that we had formerly in our consciousness. But I'd like to end this way. This is actually not new. At the end of Matthew 28, when the Great Commission is given, the gospel is not just in verse 19, which we all know. Go, disciple, baptize, right? We associate all these with the gospel. But that's not it. Don't forget, that's not all of it. Don't forget verse 20. It doesn't say, and teaching them. It's just, comma, teaching them. Modifying everything before. In other words, we need to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. This means from the very beginning, all along, our commission has always been to preach the full gospel. Not only does our Savior God desire all men to be saved, but what? He wants them to come to the full knowledge of the truth. For this to happen, we need the preaching of the full gospel. And if we do this, the Lord's promise is that He will be with us all the days until the consummation of the age. Brothers and sisters, the low gospel may save souls, but the high gospel, the complete gospel, consummates the age. Amen. Which gospel will you preach now? Let us preach this gospel.
Amen. Praise the Lord for such a rich, full, complete and high gospel. Amen. And this gospel has been entrusted to his recovery. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what should we do now? We need to go. Amen. And tell the word of this. Amen. So Matthew 28, 19 says, go. And what? Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Not only baptizing them into the triune God to be the disciples of the kingdom, but also they need to be taught, teaching them all the things that I've commanded you. And the Lord said, if you do this, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. So this gospel that we're preaching is a gospel that will consummate this age. Amen. That's why Matthew 24, 14 says that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. Amen. So dear brothers and sisters, we are here at the end of this age. And our responsibility is to preach this gospel and bring in the consummation of this age. Amen. So here in point three, let's all read together. We have a full gospel. We have a complete gospel. Now we need to go and teach the nations. Just like Brother Mark said, not only unbelievers, but even believers need to hear this complete gospel. You know, this past weekend, my brother and his wife came to visit us from Northern California. They are in a very Bible-based, very good denomination, but they came to our meeting, and we were talking about a compound spirit. And my sister-in-law asked me, what is a compound spirit? I never heard that. But we have it. Amen. And we know what is a compound spirit. Amen. And we even know all the ingredients. Amen. And we know the meaning of all the ingredients. Amen. And we know the meaning of all the numbers. Amen. How many Christians know this? So we preach the gospel to them of the compound spirit. Amen. So dear brother and sister, we need to preach the gospel. Amen. To every man. Amen. And believers and believers alike. Amen. They all need the gospel. In fact, Paul, when he went to Rome, he said, I come to preach the gospel to you. Even those who are at Rome. So here, in point A, how about we have the brothers read this, point A. We must keep the oneness. What is this oneness? This oneness is not that you and I, we agree, so we have the same view about things, so we are one. No, this oneness is the oneness of the triune God. Amen. Right? Today, the oneness that we have, it is the enlarged oneness, the oneness that is in the body of Christ. And this oneness is in our spirit. But when we practice this oneness becomes the one accord. So our brother told us many times, we need to spend this oneness. You know, write checks of oneness. So many situations we can write checks of oneness, and we have the one accord. When we have the one accord, then we have the master key to open all the blessings in the New Testament. Without the oneness, without the one accord, dear saints, the Lord have no way to move among us. For the Lord to move here in Southern California, He needs this one accord. Amen. We all say this. We all say amen to this. Amen. That's why we have this blending conference this weekend. So that we can all be blended into this oneness. Amen. Into this one accord. But today, among God's people, there's hardly any one accord. It's division upon division. So the Lord has no way among the dear believers today. But today in His recovery, the Lord is bringing us back to this one accord. Amen. And we must keep this one accord because this is the base. Without this, the Lord has no way to move among us. Okay, point B, sisters. Teach people about God. People have very many different concepts about God. So when we go, we need to teach people about God. Today, in His recovery, we have all these precious truths that's been recovered, and we have all such a rich storehouse of the divine truth. And in every situation, we can minister something of the truth to the people that we come in contact with. Concerning God, our God is triune. Why is He triune? So that we can contact Him. Amen. So that He can contact us. So that He can dispense Himself into us. Without Him being triune, we cannot experience such a God. And this God is love, light, righteousness, and holiness. All these divine attributes can become our human virtues. So when we experience this God, He, all that He is, get dispensed into us. Point C, brothers. So what is God's economy? God's economy is God's plan. It is God's desire. God's desire is to have man as His expression. So when God created man, He created man in His own image, according to His likeness, so that man one day can become His expression. You know, when God created man, He was happy. You know, in Exodus 31 says, when God, after God created man, He created everything, God rested. He rested. And He was refreshed. Exodus 31, He was refreshed. Man was God's refreshment. Man, God loves man. What occupies God's heart is man. So, dear brothers and sisters, we all need to have the same heart as our God. God loves the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So we all need to be the same as our God, to love all men. Right? Because all men were created in His image for His expression. And God's dispensing is to dispense all that He is, all His riches, into the member of His household. Point D. We need to tell people about the process how God went through. Right? We have that mystery human life. We have that diagram, right? How that God incarnated, human living, cross, died on the cross, He buried, resurrected, ascended. I mean, this is God's process. He went through the process so that He can get into us. Amen. This is God's economy, God's dispensing. Okay, point E. We need to tell people about Christ's redemption, the judicial aspect of God's salvation, right? That through His redemption, our sins are forgiven, our sins are washed, we are justified, we are reconciled, we are sanctified to God. This is Christ's redemption. But also point F. Okay, let's read point F. Sanctifying us, transforming us, conforming us to His image, and glorifying us
in Christ as the glory.
So God's salvation is also a God's salvation in life. In Romans 5:10, we know that verse. The first half of that verse says what? That we being enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. And the second half says, much more. Hallelujah for much more.
Amen.
Much more we shall be saved in His life.
Amen.
Many dear believers are missing the second half,
Amen.
Which is the big part of God's salvation. Not only to redeem us, get our sins forgiven, but also to save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
We need to tell so many people around us, God is wanting to save us in His life, in His organic salvation, so that we will be all fully transformed and conformed to His glorious image. Okay, point G. So the church is not only universal, but also local. Right? In Ephesians 2, 21, 22, there it says, in whom you, all the building is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. This is the universal aspect. Then the next verse says, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. This is the local. So in all the local churches, we are being built into a dwelling place of God in spirit. And as we are being built, the whole temple is growing. Right? This is the universal aspect. But many people don't know this. They only know the universal, but they not realize there's also the local aspect. Without the local church, how can we experience all these rich aspects of Christ? Okay, and point H, let's read. We need to preach Christ and the church. The great mystery, Christ and the church. This is the complete gospel. Okay, point I. Eventually, the church will consummate in the New Jerusalem as the ultimate manifestation of the process triune God mingle with the transformed tripartite man to express the triune God to the fullest in eternity. So one day, the New Jerusalem will come. The New Jerusalem will be the consummation of God's economy. And today we are in this process. Right? We are becoming the New Jerusalem. We are being built, adorned as the New Jerusalem. This is part of the gospel. The New Jerusalem is part of the gospel. From God to the New Jerusalem. So we need to work by contacting people in preaching the high gospel, in teaching the deeper truth, and in testifying our Christian experience. And the most effective way is to contact people one by one. Amen. One by one. On the campus, in our neighborhood, our job, one by one. Amen. Isn't that our experience? We were contacted by someone. Someone was burdened for us. They prayed for us. That's why we're here. None of us got saved without someone praying for us. And none of us come into the church life without someone praying. I didn't know, but afterwards I realized when I was coming in, somebody was praying for me. I was struggling, I was having a difficult time, but someone was praying behind the scene. Thank the Lord for all these dear ones. So dear brothers and sisters, we all need to be burdened to contact people one by one. Amen. It seems to be slow. You know, if we pray, Lord, this year give me one remaining fruit. Amen. Is that too little? If we will all pray this, if we will all gain one remaining fruit this year, we will have 100% increase. But we know that's not easy. But dear brothers and sisters, that should be our heart. Lord, this year, I don't want to be barren anymore. I don't want to be a branch just there, not bearing any fruit. You know, suppose you have a fruit tree in your backyard. Year after year, you water it, you fertilize it. All you see is just leaves. What are you going to do with it after 5 years? You probably would just cut it down. You know, actually with us, many times like this. Year after year, just leaves. Very good conduct, very proper, but no fruit. I just feel, Lord Jesus, we all need to be touched within. You know, that's why here in Roman numeral 4 are four questions that our brother posed. Okay? Our brother said, you need to consider yourself in particular. Firstly, where you are in relation to the carrying out of God's New Testament economy. We all need to ask ourselves, where am I in relation to the carrying out of God's economy? In other words, is my life, my service, contributing to the carrying out, the fulfilling of God's economy? Dear saints, you know, the carrying out of God's economy is the responsibility of every saint. Amen. Not just the co-workers, not just the elders, but every saint. Amen. We all need to be burdened for this. Or else, why are we here? Just to have a good, comfortable, nice church life? No. We need something much more than this. We need to be burdened for God's economy. Amen. We need to be burdened for the carrying out of God's economy, Amen. Which is to save sinners and to gain material for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. When the body of Christ is built, then this age can be consummated. Amen. This is the unique commission the Lord has committed to his recovery. Amen. That we're here for this one unique thing, is to build up the unique organic body of Christ. Amen. And we all can do this. I think, you know, we're all busy, but none of us are so busy that we don't have time to contact other people. Even on the Lord's Day, you know, barely many times we charge us. On the Lord's Day, how about on the Lord's Day? Before the meeting, you meet someone. Or after the meeting, you meet someone. Or some church should have a break in the middle of the morning meeting. Use that time to contact people. Can we do that? We all can do that. Right? Every saint, every brother, every sister, young or old, we all can contact people. Amen. We're burdened to gain people for God's economy. Amen. Right? Not just to get people saved. Not just to win some souls. Our burden is that we will gain people to become members of the body of Christ. Amen. And they will be built into this organic body. Point, question two. What is on your heart? Brothers, sisters, what is on your heart? You know, it depends on where you are. You know, you're younger, you're middle, you're young adult, you're middle age, you're older. What is on your heart? My family? My job? Our children? We need to care for all these. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care for our family, we shouldn't care for our job, we shouldn't. We do, we have to. Do our best to take care of all these matters. But what is really on our heart? You know, in this book called The Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Group, Burley says, God's heart today is for only two things. One, to save sinners. Two, to accomplish the building up of the body of Christ. Just these two things. That is what occupies God's heart. What about our heart? We all need to check. Three, what have you seen as a heavenly vision regarding the divine economy? Have you seen the heavenly vision? I believe we all have seen something. But we need to see more. And this vision needs to be renewed all the time. It's not something I saw 10 years ago. Has to be something fresh, renewed. The revelation is here, but we need the sight and the light so that we can see this vision clearly. And this vision will govern us, govern our living, govern our service, govern our work. And how will you carry out the vision you have seen? We all have to ask this question. How am I going to carry out, just like Paul in Acts 26:19, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Can we all say that one day? Tell the Lord that I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. The Lord has shown us something. We all need to be faithful to see to what we have seen and to carry it out. So this last sentence says, let us all spend time before the Lord in order to be filled with the burden of God's New Testament economy. After this weekend, brothers and sisters, will you spend time? Please, go to the Lord. Spend time and ask yourself these four questions. And I think this will really calibrate us in God's economy. Right? That we'll all will be burdened. We will all be burdened. Wherever we are, whoever we are, will be burdened to carry out God's economy so that we can consummate this age.
Amen.
Amen.